Father God, I just want to thank you so much for Andrew. Thank you, Father God, that you're in the room. Thank you for what you have planned. Thank you, God, that you want to see people heal this morning. You want to see people's hearts come closer to you. So I just pray, Father God, that you will ready our hearts. Help us to be open to what you have. Speak through Andrew. Lead him through your Holy Spirit. Lead him as he leads this place this morning. Yeah, we're ready, God. We're ready. We're enthusiastic and we're eager. We come with hungry hearts for what you have. Amen.
God's been softening my heart. So I hope he uses me today to soften yours, if that's what you need. Because life has a way of making our hearts hard, doesn't it? And the problem with that is that we build walls around our heart to protect ourselves. And the problem with that is it stops the good from getting in. And friends, if you don't think there's anything good in the world, there is. There still is. Because God's still in the world and God's still at work. And God has a way. I kind of have this picture, you know, when we build these big walls around our hearts, he has a way of just squirting a bit of his love through the cracks in the wall. And we start to get a taste for that. And when we start to allow him to take a brick down, at a time, usually one brick at a time, because he knows how scared we can be. He knows how hurt we can be. This morning I want to preach on Jeremiah 1:5. If you want to open it up or get it on your phones. There's just three real key words there. The verse says, before I formed you. This is, Jeremiah grew up in a priestly, he was a pastor's kid, right? So it was in his inheritance or in his, to be a prophet, I guess. But this verse is really critical because it talks about him having a personal encounter with God. And friends, we each need to have a personal encounter with God. And I often think that looks like us just letting God catch us. Because I tend to find our human nature knows how to run and how to hide. Look at Adam and Eve. First thing they did was they, instead of going to God, they ran and they hid. And friends, I see us all do the same thing. Instead of running to God, we run away from him. Instead of going to people, we hide from them. We all do it. So we just need to let God catch us. Psychologists say this about our need to... I'll read the verse first. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. And I appointed you or ordained you as a prophet to the nations. I believe in the priesthood of all believers, the New Testament says. And what that means is, and if you look at the disciples, say, well, that was Jeremiah, that's great for him. No, I think we're all called. We're all known. We're all set apart if we want to engage with that. The need to be known, this is psychologists, not the Bible. I love it when psychology catches up with God. God always knew this. The need is a need of an individual has to be known and valued by himself and important to others. So psychologists recognize that individuals have a need to be known. You ever been known well by someone? Hey, someone really gets you. We have a need to belong. The desire to belong is a fundamental, again, psychologists, fundamental part of human nature. Funny that. God made us relational beings. And when people feel out of place, hear this, and when people feel out of place, when their sense of belonging is threatened, then that discomfort and self-doubt can have far-reaching effects. I think the first thing I want to say to you this morning is that God's plan for you, original plan, was to be in a perfect family with a perfect, loving, accepting mum and dad who gave you the love and acceptance that he wanted you to have. And if you didn't get that, then he still has it for you if you haven't received it yet. And you just need to let it come. I love the stories. I love the sharing time this morning. And I think it's appropriate for me to share this. Sometimes we need to be in touch with the desires of our heart. The deep desires. Hey? I remember in college, we used to have these meetings on a Friday afternoon. And don't you hate it when people push your buttons? And the person leading the meeting just put a whole bunch of pictures on. I don't know if you've seen that. You know, different pictures. Like, walk around and find a picture that resonates with, you know, what's going on for you. It's really subtle and it always catches you off guard, right? So I just picked up this picture. I was a single guy, 27 years old, right? I just picked up this picture with a father with a baby. It just I didn't even realize what it meant, right? And then we had to share about the picture. That was a bit too vulnerable. I thought, no, I want to share. And as I thought about it, what's this picture really mean to me? Why did I connect with it on this deep level that I didn't really understand? Is that I said, and it's weird, right? I said, I have a desire for a little girl. That was really powerful. I just want to bear testimony. I was sitting, as God's softening my heart even yesterday, I was sitting looking at the four photos on my wall. Got to have four little girls. And I just want us to hear, right, that God, I need to get to my first point. Getting there early. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, right? And I want to read this because it's so important that we get this, I think, this morning, that God's safe. I mean, I can't read this great even without tears in my eyes. But Hebrews 4:14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. You know what I counted this week? I've got some weird sinus thing going on, right? My ears are ringing and don't get too close to me today because I might be contagious or I might not be. I have no idea. But I feel really average, right? And I hate being sick. I'm a horrible patient and I don't want to stop, right? So I'm sitting on my lounge probably Thursday morning and I felt like God just said, you know, it's okay to be sick. It's really powerful. It's okay. Doesn't mean God's not going to heal us. And maybe I think sometimes people today need to hear, it's okay to be sick. Doesn't mean God's not going to heal you. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay to be afraid. Doesn't mean you're going to stay afraid. See, God meets us in our point of need, not in our point of healedness. Does that make sense? He takes us to healed, but he meets us in our need. It says he is close to the brokenhearted, not the fixed. So if you want to get, just let him come close. And I totally believe with all my heart that if we get in touch with our need and our pain, you'll find God right there waiting for you. And that's where the healing will happen. That's where the restoration will happen. Believe it with all my being. So my first point is we follow him. I was going to put I follow him. I wanted this to be my testimony because it is, but I want to invite you on the journey. If you want to follow Jesus, this is one of the reasons he's worth following is because he knows us. He wired you up. He knows you better than you know yourself. If you want to get to know yourself, get to know God. And I think because he accepts us, like he celebrates us. There's a verse in Zephaniah chapter 3 where it says, he rejoices over you with singing. You know, I can't do it justice, but, you know, when you wake up in the morning, Glenys, God's singing. Oh, Glenys, she's so awesome. I know you don't feel awesome. But if we can sometimes just get that picture, that God's like, you know, the weird sports dad on the side of the field, go, go! Go! You know, he's for you. He's for you. And he knows you and he cares about you. The Hebrew word, verb translated new in Jeremiah 1:5 means more than mere intellectual knowledge. This is where we've got to get out of our heads, friends, and into our emotions. It's relate. This word know is a relational know. It's not a heady know. And like Gary was saying, his mate been wrestling with the Bible for 50 years. Oh my gosh. In some senses, what a waste of time. And the switch came when someone said to him, you believe to understand. You don't understand to believe. You believe to understand. You receive, you know what I've received the last couple of days? Just God's love again. And suddenly I found my heart getting softer. That's funny. It is used to describe the most intimate relationships. Wow. Before Jeremiah was conceived in his mother's womb, the Lord was thinking about him. Isn't it nice to know people are thinking about us? I want you to know today, God's thinking about you. And he's not having bad thoughts. He's having good thoughts. I've shared this before, but I think it's relevant. Particularly if you've lost someone close to you, right? I love this. That when Lazarus died, got sick, and then he died, and Jesus went. You know, and I think Jesus knew, well, he did. The scripture shows that Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, right? But it didn't stop him entering into that moment. And I think it's important that we understand that Jesus experienced the death of a close friend too. And it, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible says Jesus wept. You know, some of us, we're so quick to get to the healing part and the resurrection part, are we? Sometimes to get there, we need to sit in our pain first. And Jesus did that. He joined with, he saw that how upset everyone was. He saw how upset his friends Mary and Martha were. And then he was moved. You know, the word in the Hebrew in the Old Testament, if you think the Old Testament's God's a God of anger and judgment, you need to study the Hebrew word hesed. I think it's hesed or hesed. It's the same word as in the New Testament, agape, the unconditional love of God. And in the Old Testament, it's this loving kindness of a good, good father. Of a good, good God, a good, good mother who loves his people. God already knows. I love this, right? I made this up. God already knows the good, bad, and the ugly of us. So your worst thing you've ever done, God already knows. That's why he sent Jesus. So you could wipe the slate clean. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. You died on the cross to take away all the bad things I've ever done. That's why, you know, we hide because we think God's going to go, because, you know, like when mum and dad used to find us, rah. I remember when I broke a lead light window in our old Queenslander that we grew up in. I hid under the bed. You know, I've got a new great Nicholas cricket bat and I wanted to play in the backyard with my proper cricket ball, not these tennis balls. And I smacked it, you know, straight into the bottom of the lead glass window. And I expected my dad to go off his brain at me. So I'm hiding under this bed in the middle of the house. And Dad just leans down under and goes, smiles and goes, what are you doing? You know, sometimes we've broken the window and we're fearful of what's going to happen. And God's just going, what are you doing? Hiding under there. What are you doing? Hiding there or there or there. Come to me. Secondly, we follow him because he rescues us from the world. It says he is set apart, right? But it's important. It says, before you were born, I set you apart. Before you were born. In other words, God's saying, I didn't make you for junk. I didn't make you for drug addiction. I didn't make you for alcohol addiction. I didn't make you for rejection. I've set you apart. I've made you for my kingdom where there's love and joy and peace and wholeness and connection and all the things we need. That's what God, before you were born, that's what God set you apart for. He didn't create you for crap. He created you for his kingdom, not the kingdom of this world. See, too long preachers have preached about come out of the world. Don't be part of the world. We need to preach. You don't want to be part of the world. You want to be part of the kingdom. We've all tasted the world. Tastes like, I don't know, bad. Bad. Tastes bad. So he set us apart. Means he's made us to come out. You don't want that. You don't want that. You don't want anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. He set us apart to come out of that. Out of hopelessness into hope. That's what he's made us for. That's what set apart means. You weren't made for that. When I was a Sally, like Gary growing up in the Salvos, I played a cornet too. And when I was a kid, they used to put all these new brass instruments for the brass band on the mercy seat. And they'd pray over them and go, that's weird. But I think now I get it. They dedicated them, right? They set them apart. I wasn't allowed to use my Salvation Army brass cornet at school band. I had to get another cornet because that brass cornet was set apart for the glory of God. You know what? You're set apart for the glory of God. You're not made for this world. You're made for the kingdom of God and everything good. Is that okay? Can you shift? Can you have an identity shift this morning, that I wasn't made for the junk. I was made for the good oil. That's my identity. That's truly who I am. Number three, we follow him because he gives us a purpose. You know what? I've lived so long with purpose, I don't know how to live without it. So if you don't live with purpose today, you can. You can. God actually created, again, it says here again, I appointed you, and it follows on from the verse before, it says that before you were born, I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Before you were born, God had a calling on your life, whether that was to be a nurse or a teacher or a pastor or, you know, where's Val? I've never come across anyone like Val to the degree. And we had this conversation a few years ago. Sorry for dobbing you in. But you wonder why Val's been the glue that's held this place together for so long? Because she actually had a calling for that. And she got in touch with it. He talked to her. It's just this to be this key support person in church. That's who she is. Part of it. Now, she's done other things and lots of other things. Her calling's broader than that. But that's part of her calling. Does that make sense? So, God, I totally believe God has a calling for each person in this room. Okay. And when you find it, it becomes not hard to get out of bed in the morning. That's why I hate being sick, because I just don't want to slow down. Does that make sense? Because I live with purpose. And with that purpose then comes motivation. And life becomes a joy, not a drudgery. But we've got to trust God to lead us into that. If you'd asked me when I was 9 years old if I wanted to be a Salvation Army officer, I would have laughed at you. If you'd asked me when I was probably 21, I still would have laughed. I didn't mind being an electrician. They reckon I was above average at it. That's nice, isn't it? Didn't find out until after he put me off that he thought that. But you know what? When I had a taste of ministry, I thought, this is actually where I fit. There's nothing else I want to do with my life. I just want to love people. And then you know what? God refines that over time. I was already in ministry a number of years before I realized my passion is the healing of the human heart. And as I look back, and everyone has different passions, right? God wises up all differently. And then he uses he knows us before we're born. So he creates us, Psalm 139. He creates us for that calling. So, you know, it's funny that I have a passion for the healing of the human heart and I like people, because that would be awkward if I didn't like people. But there's other people who are task-orientated, and if it wasn't for them, nothing would ever get done. So they're good at sometimes ignoring people, because if you don't ignore people, sometimes nothing ever gets done. Do you hear me? We're different, and it's okay. Can I? Here's a lie of the world that we all buy into, right? Starts in school. That you have to be like everybody else. You ever checked your fingerprints? Well, they're all different. Your eyes, I reckon, they're all different. We're not made to be like anyone else. Can you get it in your spirit today? I now celebrate my weirdness. I call it that. You just call it difference. I don't care anymore. Okay, because God made us different. He doesn't need me to be like Melissa. He doesn't need Melissa to be like me. And when we get that, we can be free. I love this. I'm going to read it. I'll finish soon. Richard Collier, in his superb biography of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, in the book General Next to God, paints Booth's turning point of his life. He came up Mile End Road, East London, outside the drab red brick facade of the Blind Beggar Tavern. He halted. From beneath his arm, he drew a book and gave out the verse of a hymn. In an instant, faces were glued to the pub's glass windows. A ragged, unwashed throng pressed curiously about the stranger. "There is a heaven in East London for everyone," they heard him cry. "For everyone who will stop and think and look to Christ as a personal saviour." From the pub there came only a splattering of a volley of jeers and oaths. Then from the rear a rotten egg came whizzing to find its mark. That's good confirmation of your calling, isn't it? See, we expect affirmation. Sometimes when things come against us, we know we've truly found our destiny. Isn't that interesting? Need to sit in that myself, actually. Then from the rear, a rotten egg came whizzing to find its mark, and the subtle spell was broken. With the yolk trickling slowly down his pallid cheek, the stranger paused and prayed, and then pulled his hat over his eyes. He walked rapidly westwards. Towards midnight, as Catherine, his wife, later recalled, a key grated abruptly in the lock, and Booth, his eyes shining after an experience like that, strode into the living room. "Darling," were his first words that burst from his lips. "I found my destiny." Hey? Now, I've walked in some pretty rough places. I never felt my destiny. Hey? But I tell you what, I remember connecting with people on a pastoral level and going, man, this is like breath to me. This is my destiny. This is the only thing I'm on the planet to do. Is to connect with people and love people and lead people. And you know, like, you know, you know me well. Melissa can do the other stuff. I couldn't care less about it. I sit in the office and I feel so. When we went on holidays in April, I had all my admin ducks in the row. Well, most of them, right? And Natasha Edwards was saying, "Oh, how are you?" I say, "Oh, I've got my corporate card sorted. I've got this done and the finance up there." And I said, "And it brings me no joy." Brings me no joy. Friends, it's really important to be in touch. The only thing that keeps me in the office on Tuesdays is Jez. I hire a secretary, so I actually stay in the office more than 10 minutes. Because there's people there, so I'll stay. Do you get it? It's so important that you know who you are. Otherwise, the devil will lie to you about that. So we need to go to God to find out who we are, because he knew us before we were born. He created us for a purpose and a destiny and set us apart for that. So why are you going to Facebook or TikTok or some other stupid nonsense for your identity? What do you think you're going to get? Why would you listen to an ex-partner, an ex-boyfriend, or someone who's so broken they don't even know who they are to get your sense of identity? That's crazy. So stop doing that, right? And come to God. This is a picture I love. It's an illustration out of a course called Search for Life. That we were made, right? Before the fall, God's idea of the world was that mum and dad were like a perfect mirror to reflect back to us who we are. Right? And the problem is those mirrors got broken. So it doesn't matter how good your mum and dad was, they're going to be somewhat of a distorted reflection back to who you are. That's why we all got some brokenness, right? So we need to go to God, the perfect mirror, who will give us a perfect reflection of who we are. Is that okay? So you only truly find who you are in relationship with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit. That's when we find who we are. That's what happened to Jeremiah. His calling wasn't awesome. Read the book. But he was faithful because he had a God encounter and he discovered who he was. I think that's all we need to say. Now, I don't want to pray for anyone today because I might be contagious. But you don't need me. You need Jesus. You need to let him come. Just let him come. And so as the worship team, I changed the song. I do it tonight all the time. I'm so sorry, but part of me is not sorry. Because the words of this song are so good, and I want you to let them get in your spirit this morning, right? I have a friend closer than a brother. I have a friend. Do you have a friend closer than a brother? See, Jesus can be that friend. And he came to me this week a couple of different times and I thought, I'm so sorry, Lord. So busy striving and trying to fix things that I forgot to just slow right down on the inside. And let him come. And let him speak. And let him heal. And let him soften my heart. And then suddenly, things looked better. Funny. So if you need to come and kneel, if you want to stand and worship, if you want to kneel where you are, sit, stand, whatever you need to do, but just let this song minister to you, sing it if it's helpful, but see if you can slow yourself down. Just sit quietly and then just say, Lord Jesus, speak to me. Speak to me. Lead me, guide me, speak to me. Let him come and he'll empathize with you and he'll show you kindness and acceptance, and he'll show you the next step. Lord Jesus, we just want to come into you. We just want to become more fully aware of your presence right now. You have been here, you are here, you're always with us, but we want to become aware of your presence right now. We want to allow you to speak to us. Lord, give us ears to hear. Let him speak. It helps you to come and pray. Whatever you need to do, just give him space to connect with you right now.